Hi there, and welcome to the Old Time Review podcast with me, Jamie Dyer. And it's the first in what I hope will be a very long podcast. Not long as in length, but long as in many episodes over much time. Now, this is a very special episode because not only am I talking to you via the usual forms of iTunes and Google and stuff like that, I'm also streaming live on Twitch. Now, there is a reason I've decided to do this, mainly because in the past, when we've done this podcast and when I've done many other podcasts, we've had problems with getting guests on. So I thought, instead of kind of waiting for guests and having them not turn up and having things go wrong and missing episodes, why don't we do live Twitch streams and have guests on as it goes? So right now, as in when we're recording this, we are live on Twitch, ready to take calls. Now, I'm certain that on this first episode, there will be no calls on anything. There won't be any calls at all. There won't even be any messages in the chat bit or anything of that nature. But I just wanted to get it off the ground. Now, we're recording this at midnight, mainly because I understand that most of our audience is in the States, and a lot of the stuff that we talk about is stateside. You know, it's stuff that's over in the United States, whether it be TV, film, radio, or music. Most of it is stateside. Now, for those that are listening via podcast, I have a webcam set up. We've got a logo in the corner. We've got a thing in the bottom that says call the show on Skype, and then the address, which is my email address on Skype, jamie@oldtimereview.co.uk. That's jamie@oldtimereview.co.uk. And for this episode, I've got a picture of Jack Benny, the American comedian, next to me, mainly to stimulate conversation, because of this first episode, I have nothing planned. I have nothing going on right now. It's all brand new, basically, and I'm hoping that this will take off. Now, obviously, I'm not planning to do it at midnight UK time all the time, but certainly it will be around that sort of time UK time for doing it live, unless we get a large amount of British people calling and texting in. So yeah, this is the Old Time Review podcast. My name's Jamie Dyer. I'm the owner of Old Time Review. I do many of the reviews, and certainly over the last day I've enjoyed kind of looking at different stuff. I mean, that's the daily life of a reviewer of Old Time Review, is we look at things. You know, we look at new releases of old material. I mean, just the other day, actually, I was looking, and I'm staring at it right now, a new reissue from Bear Family Records, who are great. I love Bear Family Records. They do a lot of really great releases. A new release from them called The Complete Boss of the Blues, which is a reissue of the mono and stereo versions of The Boss of the Blues Sings Kansas City Jazz by Joe Turner, or Big Joe Turner, as you'll know him. And I was blown away. You can read my review on the website. You can even hear me talking about it in a podcast, which is basically just me reading off of the review. That tends to be what we do with the Record Revival podcast. But yeah, I fell in love with it. I thought it was great. I've heard Big Joe Turner before, but not from that point in his career, not doing that kind of stuff. And as a fan of swing and bits of blues as well, like old-timey blues, I was just blown away with the quality. I mean, obviously the stereo is 1960s stereo, so he's in one ear and the rest of it's in the other. It's kind of weird. I had a very similar situation with many recordings, actually, stuff by the Beatles and Jerry and the Pacemakers, one of their favorite, one of my favorite albums from them, How Do You Like It, is basically produced like that in the stereo version, in that his vocals are in one ear and the instruments are in another. So it's no good for the modern iPod listener or MP3 or just someone that likes listening through earbuds, because, well, you know, I can only hear half the music. It's a kind of a pain, but I suppose it's the way they did it then. It's the way of the world, as it were. Now, you might find I'm a little bit on the rambly side, simply because this is all brand new to me. All brand new on Twitch, done Twitch a little bit, but not like this, not in this manner before. And it's quite daunting, actually, because normally I do a lot of to camera stuff, but nothing that is really this personal. To give you an idea, I'm gonna see if this works now. So basically what I should be able to do is play. Yeah, so that's the live stream going on right now, and that was me playing it back into something of an infinite loop. Wonder if it would go into an infinite loop. That would be interesting. But yes, back on topic. We're here on Twitch. We're also in your ear via iTunes and Anchor and all these wonderful things. It's great, isn't it? Absolutely, absolutely great, all the technology that is here now, and so many ways of listening to things. And as an old-time radio fan, I'm always astounded by the amount of material that is out there. And I'm glad, actually, that a lot of collectors and a lot of fans are starting to realize that much higher quality bit rates are required. And we're getting onto the subject here. We're getting onto the subject that I've almost outlined with the image to the right of me, which is old time radio. Jack Benny, I mean, he was one of the most he preserved a lot of his radio shows, most of them actually after a certain point. He had them put onto disc, and he'd listen back to them, and he'd learn what worked, what didn't. He'd go over it again and again and again, and he was meticulous with that. I mean, he'd be writing sometimes right up until the last minute, even in rehearsals. You know, it's amazing, actually. And because of that, we're able to listen to majority of his shows after about 1936. It's nearly all completely in survive. You know, it's survived. It's amazing that this thing has survived all this time. And it's not just Jack Benny either. I mean, Suspense, Lux Radio Theatre. There's some amazing shows out there that are now being preserved in much higher quality. Because if you remember, back in the day, people used to kind of trade these things around, and they'd be on sort of, you know, tapes that had been dubbed several times, you know, onto different things. And so you get more here, some more stuff. And then when they started putting them onto the computer, there was a lot more kind of noise and stuff, because they were doing them at much lower bit rates than was necessary. Now they appear to have learnt from that, and it seems to have changed, which is wonderful. I think it's utterly wonderful, because it means I can listen to some of those shows in high quality, the way they were meant to be heard. You could make the argument that the low bitrate, well, when we used to listen analog, there used to be interference anyway, so it doesn't matter. It does take away from some of the enjoyment, in my opinion. I love old-time radio. I discovered it about 8 years ago. And it was a revelation to me. It was almost like once I left university and started finding stuff. I was a fan of Mel Blanc. I found Mel Blanc. I found the Mel Blanc Show. Then on to Jack Benny and other bits and pieces. And went into British old-time radio for a while. You know, Beyond Our Ken, Round the Horn, anything with Kenneth Horne in. And obviously Tony Hancock and Dad's Army and all that stuff. The stuff that some in some cases we still continue to make now. But then I went back to American again because I read a book by Jack and Joan Benny called Sunday Nights at Seven. And that was an absolute revelation. I got to see in my mind's eye a time in radio which is kind of forgotten about in Britain, if it even existed at all. And the whole commercial thing, we like to make out that literally everything that comes off the assembly line now is completely fresh and new, and actually or if it wasn't fresh and new, then it was done back in the 50s on TV. People like Benny were doing it back in the 30s on radio before TV even existed. I believe actually TV was first mentioned on radio in about, what, 1946 on the Benny Show? That's the first time he mentioned it. Anyway, about 1945, 46, there were murmurs of television. He didn't get onto TV until about 1950. And I believe it was Dinah Shore that was the first guest on that show. I tell you something, here's a completely different aside before we go to our first break. So, earlier today, I am watching Family Fortunes, which is the British version of Family Feud, on Challenge, which is a British game show channel, a bit like Game Show Network or Buzzer, except they've kind of forgotten about vintage game show. It's starting to go a bit too new for my liking. So they were showing this Family Fortunes. Now, the succession of presenters, people will know that Bob Monkhouse was the first one, people will know that Les Dennis is the most prominent one, but the one in between them was Max Bygraves. And I don't know, I'm sitting there watching this thing and I'm thinking, this is quite good. I like this. I like the vibe. It's very similar to Family Feud from about the same era, the early 80s, you know, with Richard Dawson. And then I suddenly think, Richard Dawson was English. I wonder if he ever met Max Bygraves. And so I start Googling, start looking it up, thinking, you know, I'll look it up. I'll see what happens. And then what comes up, coincidentally enough, is Jack Benny. And I think, why is Jack Benny coming up? Is it because somebody has left a comment on the video and maybe, you know, maybe they've made some reference to Max Bygraves being the host of Family Fortunes or whatever? No, none of that. It turns out Max Bygraves was a guest on the Jack Benny program, and the whole scenario of the story of that show is that Max Bygraves basically does a show over here, so the story goes, that is basically Jack's show. Now Jack has to go over to the UK where he sees this, and the guy sitting next to him is Richard Dawson. Yeah, so Richard Dawson has something of a cameo part before he's really famous in Hogan's Heroes, in the Jack Benny program, which I didn't know anything about. He was in the Dick Van Dyke Show as well quite early on, which was great. But yeah, so that is what connects Max Bygraves and Richard Dawson apart from Family Feud. They were both on the same Jack Benny program at the same time. And it almost goes to prove what I always say about Jack, is that in Hollywood, from a particular time, if you stem off from wherever, chances are you're going to come back to Benny at some point or other. Benny stems off himself into so many different places, whether it be the guests he had on his program or the people that that were players on his show, your Dennis Day, your Phil Harris, your Don Wilson. They stem off into so many different places. You can connect Benny to so many different people. And that is an incredible thing. But then he had a show that ran for 23 years on radio. And then a further 10 on television, plus specials for the next 7-8 years. You know, it's an amazing accomplishment. But he stems off into so many different places that it's unreal. it is unreal. He connects to so many different things. And that's one reason why I am a huge fan of him. That's why I think he's one of the greatest entertainers to ever, you know, be in this industry in the United States, if not the world, because he gave so many people a chance. He did so many things. And there was a bit in Sunday Nights at 7. I'm sure anyone who's read it will testify that I'm right here. I'm sure it was in that book that when he went on a couple of occasions to stay in a hotel, and because of the time it was, because of the era, they wouldn't allow his co-star, Eddie Rochester Anderson, which, if you know the context of the time, sort of makes sense. They wouldn't allow him. However, Benny, quite boldly, would say, if he doesn't stay, none of us stay. Now, I think that is such a progressive point of view at that moment in time. There are some amazing amazing stories that come like that, that kind of start like that, you know, that are involving Benny. And I just think it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And he also said in his book as well that although they made some race jokes sort of, you know, early, mid his program because of the time that it was in, they tried to kind of step away from that later on. It got better. He learned from it. And he basically said, we didn't know. So whenever we did like a Jewish stereotype or anything like that, he wasn't really aware at that time. And I know you can't really defend that. But the thing is, he made it better. He was aware of it by the end and then sought to change it. Now, there are some character. I mean, you could say every character in that show is a stereotype, but then that is because time has passed and some of the things have changed. You know, things have changed, and some people will say not necessarily for the better, but we've still got his show to look at and listen to, which is great. I mean, there's like over 1,000 episodes or so of Benny's radio show, which I'm going to keep using this word, is amazing. Right, I'll be back in just a moment where we'll be talking more, and maybe we'll even take your calls as well if we get anything. So yeah, we'll be back in just a moment. This podcast is brought to you by Old Time Review, a website that features news, reviews, and opinion on television, radio, movies, and music made before 1980. We also produce a range of podcasts, including our interview show, the Old Time Review podcast, A Brit Talks Television, and the Record Revival podcast. Check out www.oldtimereview.co.uk. That's www.oldtimereview.co.uk for more information. Alternatively, you can check us out on social media at Old Time Review on Twitter, or our Facebook page, simply Old Time Review, and even Instagram. Thank you very much for supporting Old Time Review. And welcome back to the Old Time Review podcast with me, Jamie Dyer, and unfortunately we have no calls, which is what I expected. You know, it's a brand new thing, but in case you're wondering, what are you calling in about? I realize I should have said this before, but nerves and such like. So basically what I want you to call in about is absolutely anything to do with vintage media. So whether it's TV, radio, film, music, all made before 1980, do let me know. Call in to the address which is on the screen if you're watching live on Twitch, and just come on and talk about something. Maybe you've got a memory of seeing a film at the cinema. Maybe you remember listening to something on the radio, or you know, either via first run or a rerun. which there are many, you know. I mean, I've told you of my first experience of old-time radio, my first experience of hearing that. It certainly wasn't first run, and it wasn't even rerun, really, not for the American stuff. So, yeah, anything like that, mainly on old-time review, we tend to get a lot of interest in our TV stuff, things to do with television. Which is really interesting, actually. I like that, because TV is one of my favourite things as well. I've seen a lot of it, a lot of sitcoms. I do enjoy it, you know. I enjoy a good old-fashioned sitcom. I've recently been watching the Donna Reed show, actually, but I have to say, after about halfway through season two, I started to get a little bit bored of the format and the way that it was. I probably go back to it and it's fine, but I wasn't really a fan of like that style, if I'm honest with you. You know, that that weird sort of oldie worldy black and white family sitcom-y style, you know, the Father Knows Best type stuff. And then I started listening to the Father Knows Best radio show, which kind of changed my perspective on it, and I think actually in some ways it betters the TV show, and because I started looking at the TV show after that, and I thought, wow, this is really interesting. I like it, you know. It's just nice, cozy, family viewing, and we know that it's not actually based on really any real life experience. No one really acts the way that that the Andersons would act. Certainly not. I mean, can you imagine a world where everything is that great? Kind of reminds me, and I mean great as in nothing bad really happens other than someone stubbed their toe or someone stolen a bottle of Coke or something, you know, something really trivial. Can you imagine a world like that? Well, I suppose in some ways they have already done that, because there was a film made in the late 90s where I think it was Tobey Maguire and Renee Zellweger, Pleasantville, where it's this guy that really likes sort of old-fashioned family sitcoms, your Ozzie and Harriet's, your Father Knows Best, you know, all that sort of thing. The stuff where it's like traditional patriarchy. And then him and his sister get sucked into the TV and inhabit this world. And it eventually turns into colour. And I've seen it a couple of times. I watched it for university. And I thought it was fascinating. I'm sure I'd see a lot more nods now if I went back, because I'm a lot more familiar with the worlds that were created on TV in sort of the 1950s, which is what it's ribbing at, as well as teen culture. So, you know, I've grown to love those cozy sitcoms, but sometimes they can get a bit too much. There's too much in there, you know. It's too much cuteness. It's too much, ooh, you know, like it's just something about it. You can't have too much of it. It's like candy floss. You know, it's after a while. But yeah, that's my experience of those old-timey sitcoms. Can you call them old-timey now? I mean, I realise there are some people that comment and say, well, they'll say to me things like, you say before 1980 and it's called old time. I don't class 1980 as old time. And it's like, yes, but 1970 was in 2020, it's 50 years ago. You know, we're talking about 40 to 50 years ago just for 1970. And to some people, even 1990 is ancient. So it's all relative. And also, from a marketing perspective, I thought it was an interesting idea to put it there, because a lot of people look back at the 1970s with a lot of fondness, you know, and there's a lot of interest. A lot of the time, we put up every day, like birthdays, certain birthdays and bits and pieces, you know, celebrity birthdays, who was born on this day, who passed away, who's, you know, who do we remember, that sort of thing. And I do tend to find that apart from a select few people, a lot of the celebrities that will get tons and tons and tons of interest will be the ones that were popular sometime between about 1960 and 1975, for example. So there's a 15-year gap there, sort of mid-70s, where people, you know, really dig it, as it were. And also, a lot of the networks will say gold or vintage or whatever on their schedule, and it will mostly be stuff from the 60s, 70s and 80s. So although people of my generation and before will class old time as like 30s, 40s, 50s, really, time is moving on. And, you know, I know of a radio station that used to play all music made before 1960. Yeah, I had to get that right. Made before 1960. They wouldn't play anything made after that, right? Now, because of time, they now play stuff made before 1970, because time has moved on, and they still keep a lot of the values that they did before. They just they've just jigged it a little bit so that it can cater for the audience in which they set out, because let's be honest, today's 70-year-olds are not yesterday's 70-year-olds. They've all got different memories. So that's kind of our way of thinking of it at Old Time Review, that we will include 70s. Now, I have had a couple of writers say to me, why don't you include the 80s? Well, to me, that's a bit too new, because once you do that, you start getting into weird stuff. Do I want to see reviews of reissues of Duran Duran and Spandau Ballet? Not particularly. Although saying that, I do tend to limit it. But you see, the argument that I tend to put forward is, in the 1970s, there were still a lot of performers who were very active in the 30s, 40s and 50s. And they were still there in the 70s. People like Milton Berle, Jack Benny, George Burns, you know, people like that. They were still very much there. George Burns, anybody, you ask anybody that isn't like aware of his early work, as far as they're concerned, he's been around forever, but he really started in 1975, 76, you know, when he did the Sunshine Boys. But he had a whole career before that. So that's why we tend to do the 70s. In addition to everything else before. So there we are. I think we've actually reached the time here on the Old Time Review podcast. But yeah, I'd like to say thank you very much for listening on the podcast, at least. We haven't had any calls today, but hopefully in the future we will start to get more stuff. And don't forget as well, I'll also be posting a video of it on YouTube, so be sure to check that out. It will be slightly edited because we have breaks in the middle of everything, in the middle of the talking and the content. On the podcast, there's only the one break, but in the Twitch stream, there's several because, you know, talking for long periods of time, you need a drink, you need a break, but I don't want to freeze. You know, I don't want to suddenly just go quiet. And I realize I could edit it out in podcast form, but, you know, it's boring to watch, isn't it, when somebody's taking a drink and you think, I want to get it as close to the podcast as possible. Right, so I'd like to say thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for viewing. I've been Jamie Dyer. This has been the Old Time Review podcast. And if you'd like to subscribe, please do. On YouTube, on iTunes, on any of your podcast providers. Subscribe to us, same on Twitch. And yeah, I shall see you next time. Bye-bye.